welcome to episode number 2 of the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. Today, I'll be talking about the value of vendors at cake, cookie, and baking shows and feature some interviews from the Austin Cake Show with Mark DeGrozier, Sydney Galpern, Sachiko Winbiel, Denise Gall, and Tammy Coletti. So whether you're working hard on an order due in the next few hours, testing out your latest decorating innovation, or just chilling out after a big trade show, let's get this show started to keep you amused, enlightened, and encouraged as you do whatever you've got to do. On the last episode, I had my good friend Don Parrott on for pretty much the whole show, chatting about all kinds of cake stuff. But since so many people were busy with SoFlo this past week and other cake shows going on at this time of year, I couldn't get anyone to come and chat for this episode. But I do happen to have some great little clips from the Austin show back in February, and I've chosen 4 of them, all having to do with the theme of vendor experiences at cake shows. In future episodes, I'm going to talk about other aspects of cake shows, like being a competitor and how to attract competitors, as well as instructors and classes and other topics related to this really big part of our industry. But as I was going through my Austin clips, it came to mind that there's a lot more to the role of vendors at the show than many people think about, so I figured it would be fun to explore that a bit. First up, a disclaimer that I'm going to be talking about products and the people who sell them, and a lot of those people are my friends in the industry. Anytime I talk about products on this podcast, I'm going to follow the same rules I do on the Eat the Evidence blog. If I've been given a product free of charge for review or won it as a prize, I'm going to, at the very least, list it in the show notes and also do my best to clearly state that this product or brand has given me stuff for free. If I don't specify, it means I bought that thing with my own money. And in any case, I'm always honest about how I feel about a product. I do try to be kind in reviews and not trash products. Generally, if a product turns out to be bad, I just don't mention it at all or even post about it, unless I think there's a safety issue with it. But if you see or hear me saying that I love a given tool or ingredient, it's because I do love it personally, regardless of how I acquired it. I don't want to get cumbersome and interrupt the show's flow with constant disclaimers here and there. So if you're concerned, check the show notes and know that while I'm obviously never going to be mean to my friends who make stuff, I'm also not ever going to lie and promote things that I haven't tried or don't actually love. If I start having paid sponsor messages on this show in the future, they'll be clearly indicated as such, and I plan to be picky about whom I let advertise on this show. That's my commitment to both you, the listener, and to my friends in the industry. Okay, so back to the topic at hand. What do I mean by vendors? Some shows call them traders or other terms, but in general, I'm referring to people or companies who have fixed stalls at a cake or cookie or baking show where attendees can learn about products and, of course, buy them. Sometimes vendors are also sponsors, instructors, judges, or even competitors themselves. And obviously, there's a huge range from big multinational companies through to small stores or low-scale manufacturers. The big players know the value of cake shows. They've got paid staff who know how to manage things for their best return on investment. They have the skills and people power to make shows work for them. But a lot of the time, the smaller companies, the sole proprietors, the innovators of a new tool or product, they often see barriers to participating in shows. So I'm going to talk about how those folks might want to take another look beyond mere sales versus cost of attending. Because these trade shows are so much more than a place to shop for cool stuff, and so much more than a place to sell your wares. Shows let sugar artists peruse the newest, coolest tools, and that makes it a perfect place for vendors to launch new products. This is especially true if you're making a first foray into sales in this market, and even more so if the field has already established competitors. Presumably, you're coming to market with your version because it has a difference, and trumpeting that difference online alone isn't going to get you very far beyond a few loyal friends. Putting out your eye candy attractive wares at a show will make people notice as they walk by, giving you an opportunity to talk up your new brand directly or through your brand ambassadors. Because Artisan Accents came to the Austin show, and I happened to be talking to one of their staff over in the hospitality area for vendors and volunteers, we were able to connect and get their brand ambassador, Mark DeGrozier, to talk up their new line in a way that honestly never would have happened just by being around on Facebook. How are you finding the show so far?
This has got to be one of the best shows I've ever been to, actually. Everybody here is super nice. The vendors are all friendly. It feels like family, really.
And so we're standing here at the Artisan Accents booth, and you're going to tell us a little bit of what's going on here.
Yeah, so Artisan Accents is a subsidiary of Prime Ingredients. It's a 30-year-old company who is supplying color and flavors to a lot of large food manufacturers. And they decided they wanted to do something fun and target our industry now. So they launched the Artisan Accents line. It is a line of 10 premium gel colors and a bunch of amazing flavors that a little drop will do you. Some of my favorite flavors are actually Chocolate Decadence and Boldly Banana. And what's great about the colors is they are high quality. A little bit goes a long way. You can actually color a pound of fondant with about 2 drops of color.
Wow.
For most of the shades. The purples and the pinks do not fade. I actually had some white fondant tinted purple that sat in sunlight for 2 months and did not fade.
That's pretty amazing. I know there's actually some cakes out there that some people have been upset have faded even today, so that's really good.
Yeah, definitely. And if you want to see what the colors actually look like, there is a YouTube video that we'll share the link with you guys where you can see Susan Trianis represent the brand with color theory. So she takes you through the primary colors, secondary colors, talks about color mixing, and it's a great way to see how you can use these 10 basic shades to get 80 plus colors from the rainbow.
No one wants to own 1,000 shades because you can never find the one that you want, so being able to mix is really important.
Being able to mix is definitely important, but again, there are going to be some colors that are hot, that are trendy, and we want to save our customers time as well, so look for certain trend colors to be coming out soon. We are working on a particular blue that will be launched in the next couple of months. So
what's your favorite color?
My favorite color has got to be the black. Only because it's got the best saturation. It's not one of those blacks where you mix it with white and it's got flecks in it and it doesn't have that green hue to it. It's a true black.
Oh, so it doesn't separate like into the red and the green when you wash your hands?
Definitely does not.
Wow, that's, I'm always getting red hands and green water in my kitchen sink.
Yeah, that's the thing with being a decorator, right? Your hands are always looking like a color TV. So a tip for that is actually wash your hands with Windex.
Wow, okay. So it just gets the color right off?
Yeah, it's just like my Big Fat Greek Wedding. Windex cleans everything. If you want to try the brand out and you're international, the best place to go to get it is Icing Inspirations. It's icinginspirations.com. They are a global shipping brand. So they ship out of Canada. So if you're in the U.S., your dollar's worth more. Even better, you can buy more for your dollar. And they have great customer service.
To be honest, I do wish I could have every single gel color mounted to my wall in clear shelves and sorted by rainbow order so that every time I enter my kitchen, I could see this glorious rainbow before me. Yeah, but that's not realistic. So yeah, knowing how to mix color is really important. I'll put the link to the video Mark mentioned in the show notes. And now I know about this new product range because of a cake show. And now so do you. Even if a vendor has been participating in a given show for years, there's huge value in timing launches of new products to these trade shows as well. Being able to ramp up excitement on social media for new stuff coming out with a countdown or teaser pictures or whatever you've got makes show organizers happy because it draws people to the show and it makes customers excited to come browse your new goodies. And those happy customers then can't wait to go home and play with their new stuff and talk about it on social media again, helping to fuel future sales for the vendor. As an example, I follow Sydney Galpern on Facebook because we've been cake friends for years, and when I saw her post on Facebook that she was coming out with a new geode mold at the 2017 Austin show, I decided I wanted one. Because if I ever need to do a geode cake, I don't want to have to panic find large crystals or make my own rock candy because you can't rush that process. So I bought the mold, although here's my disclaimer that Sydney has given me some products in the past for review on my blog, but for the mold, I paid my own money for it. And now I'm prepared if someone ever asks me for a geode cake. She also launched other new lines at the show that generated a lot of excitement, so I'll let her tell you about them and also drop in some encouragement for those listening and working on a project right now.
We're here with Cindy Galbraith at the Austin Show. So how's your show going?
It's great. I love the Austin Show. It's always a really good time. There's such an amazing level of talent for cake decorating and art in Austin that I always love coming here.
Well, you know we love having you, and it's been just amazing watching you come up with all this new stuff. What do you have here that's new this year?
This year we are debuting some of our brand new Simi sculpture mats. So it's a silicone sculpture mat that has different cavities, and you pour your isomalt, or you can even use fondant and gum paste and chocolate and even bake cookies in the mat, and within it, it has every single shape that you need to put together a completely finished sculpture.
So what kind of sculptures can you make with them?
The brand new one that we are debuting this time is a gift box. So it's actually a little present, and you can open up the top, you can fill it, you can put a cupcake in it. And then we also have different ones like a royal carriage, a sleigh, monster wings, rocking horse, you name it, we have it.
And what kind of designs do you think you're coming out with in future? Can you give us any hints?
I can't really say too much about future designs, but I can say that we have a lot of ideas, and we are definitely going to be coming out with more over 2017.
So it's definitely a line that people can keep following you to see more coming out.
For sure, yeah. We have a lot of different ideas, so I'm excited to see them.
So tell me about something that's difficult for you to do, and how do you rise to that challenge?
I think with anything in art, practice is really the biggest thing. And even for people who have been doing it for years, even for professionals, I mean, I do this professionally and I teach, and a lot of people will tell me, or will, I think, assume that when I make something, it's just perfect. I mean, I just make it. Like, I just take an hour and I make just giant sculpture and it's perfect the first time and I never have any issues because I've been doing it or because I've practiced or this is what I do every day. But that really isn't true.
It doesn't erupt out of your hands?
No, it definitely does not. It takes a lot of practice. I've been doing this for so long. I've made my share of things that were not up to my standards by far. But I think the biggest thing is just practicing. And whenever I make something, I always pretty much, I mean, sometimes there is those sculptures that just come out perfect and easy and you don't have any issue with, but that's like the 1% of what you make. But I mean, I always practice what I do. If it's the first one, it's very surprising. Usually I make at least 2 or 3 of what I'm doing before it actually comes out exactly how I want. A lot of times I'll even make a mini. So I'll make something that's only a few inches tall, even though I know that my sculpture is going to be, you know, 1 foot or 2 feet tall. I'll make just a small one just to kind of get it in my head, because art, you kind of have to translate what's in your head to something that's physical, whether it be sculpting or painting or writing even, or any type of art. You really have to translate it, and that doesn't always come out clearly. So definitely practice, even if it's just practicing on what you're planning to do.
So like making maquettes, plans, drawings in advance?
Yes, planning I think is a very, very big tool. I envy the people who don't have to like draw everything and write everything. I always make sure that I have a clear idea. A lot of times I'll test colors before I even start. You know, I'll try different painting techniques on a separate piece before I go to my big piece, just because I want to make sure that everything's going to be perfect.
Do you ever get, like, I mean, I know I sometimes get, like, I can't take cake anyway. I'm not. Do you ever get like that?
Absolutely, yeah. There's always those times, again, because this is something that can be very frustrating to, like, you see it in your head, but you just can't make it do what you think it should do, or you can't make it come out of your head. So there's definitely those times at like 3 a.m. when you've been working all day on it and you've been staring at it, and I think my advice for that would honestly just be to walk away from it. Sometimes when you're staring at something for so long, you only see details, you only see the itty bitty little imperfections that don't even really matter in the long run. And so honestly, if I get frustrated, I walk away from it, I work on something else, or I just go eat or answer emails or just do something else. And when I come back, 75% of time, it looks so much better. Just not kind of pinpointing all the little things you did wrong, and you're able to see what you did right.
Yeah, I often get that thing where I have to go off to the bathroom or something, exactly. And I come back and I'm like, oh my God, look what I just made.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's amazing when you can see the big picture rather than the little detail.
And it just keeps you going on to the next step and the next step until finally you're done.
Exactly, for sure.
Those of you who are actually working on a project right now, you're deep into it, you're working really hard, I want you to pause for a second. sit back, close your eyes, take a deep breath. No, come on, do this with me now. Sit back, close your eyes, deep breath. You've been working really hard. Stuff may not always be going well. Maybe stuff is going great. Whatever's happening, I want you now to slowly open your eyes and look at what you've made. Okay, maybe it's still got some problems. Maybe you're not done. But look at what you've made. You're so good at this. You are going to rock this cake. You are so amazing, and I have faith that you're going to get this done and everyone's going to love it. So if you have a product to launch, a cake or cookie or baking show is a great place to do it. And if you are a customer, going to a show lets you see things firsthand instead of wondering based on internet pictures if a tool is right for you. Sydney always had such a crowd around her when demonstrating those box mats she mentioned that even though we'd agreed in advance that she'd do an interview with me, it was hard to find a spare minute when she wasn't swamped with people. Sydney and her parents travel from show to show to show, doing demos and classes and selling products, because they know there's tremendous value in people being able to see and touch and interact with products and techniques in person. I've often seen a tool online that seems interesting, but then passed it by because I can't cost justify it, or I'm not sure if it suits my needs. But then I've gone to a cake show and seen it demonstrated in person where I could ask questions, or better yet, held it in my hand and tried it myself and thought, oh yeah, I need this. Now, there's a specific psychology to that. Back when I used to make big show cakes, I would often listen to social psychology audiobooks by people like Dan Ariely and other social scientists, and they frequently talked about the power of having a thing in your hand and how that makes you feel a sense of ownership for it. And once you've had that, you experience a sort of mental loss when you hand it back. And one way to mitigate that loss is to buy one for yourself. So it can be very powerful and useful for vendors to let people try their products hands-on at cake shows in a way that no amount of user reviews or YouTube videos will ever even approach. And as a potential buyer, it's so useful to try a thing out and realize, nope, I don't like how this feels in my hand. Or, oh wow, okay, I know this is supposed to be for this other technique, but I can tell in trying it that it will solve this other problem I'm having. And everyone is better off, even if a potential customer decides something they tried isn't for them, because that's better decided there in person at a show versus ordering a thing and then returning it, racking up postage costs on both sides, and then leaving the vendor with an open package that can't always be resold. So if you're looking to buy something but on the fence about it, see if you can get to a cake or cookie or baking show where that vendor will be. Contact them beforehand and ask them if they'll be offering any demonstrations or hands-on trials. Sometimes vendors don't know people want that unless they ask for it. Sometimes vendors don't think they'll get enough attention at a show and are on the fence about going at all. So if you as a customer contact them well in advance and say, hey, you know, I'm really interested in your line, but I want to check it out in person. I'm going to be at such and such show in a few months. Will you be there? Then that vendor might decide it's worthwhile to come, and you get to try before you buy, chat them up about what works for you and what doesn't, and all of that good stuff. And if you're a vendor and your product lends itself to demonstrations, I guarantee you the mere fact of having something to touch and do at your booth will draw people in. You do have to make it abundantly clear from a distance, so people who are wandering by will know for sure that they're allowed to come and have a go. And obviously, you need to set it all up in a friendly, non-intimidating way, especially for complicated tools like airbrushes or other powered tools. But if you've got chairs and tables and an obvious way for people to come participate, people will come and participate. Of course, not every product lends itself to hands-on touching. Some stalls just have too much stuff going on and can't securely run demonstrations. If you're a vendor who wants people to be able to try before they buy, but you can't manage it at your stall, talk to the cake show organizers about giving free samples in competitor goodie bags or as part of prize packs. Now, not all shows do goodie bags or prize packs, and I will talk about that in a later episode more focused on the competition aspect of shows. But many do, and putting your product in the hands of those who compete, especially those who win, is a great way to introduce people to your product or store and convince them to possibly even change to your brand, and then talk about it on social media. Here, I'll prove it. In 2010, I won first place in show cakes at the Austin Show. And as part of my prize pack, I got a set of texture mats donated by the Cake Connection Shop in Lansing, Michigan. I have never lived anywhere close enough to shop there in person, but because they donated those mats as part of their sponsorship to the show, every time I use them for a project I blog about, I make a point of saying that this is what they are and where I got them. Even on my book page for the flexible edible stained glass, right there in the suggested tool listing, I provide a link to their shop to say, I got mine from here. I know for a fact that I have sent customers their way for those texture mats and other things, and while they may not realize a given customer came through me, I am entirely certain that they've recouped the cost of those mats in sales through the customers I've sent their way. It is such a common thing on social media when people are sharing cakes and techniques for other people to ask, where did you get that tool? Or where did you find that color of dust? Or where did you find that thing? And if the person posting can respond, I won it at a cake show from your brand, that's really powerful marketing. This is especially true if you have a new tool or product that you want the best in the industry to be seen using and recommending. Okay. But what if you are a vendor at a cake show and you can't manage a hands-on demo and you can't afford to donate a bunch of product towards goodie bags or prize packs? There is another way that you can attract people to your booth to see the product in action. And that's by getting some of those higher profile past show winners or well-known cake artists to come to your booth and do a demonstration during the show. If you know that a given artist likes your product, go ahead and ask them if they'll demo at your booth. Most people are thrilled to be asked, so don't be shy about it. I am still flattered beyond belief that Innovative Sugar Works asked me to demonstrate their sugar shapers at the Austin Show. I love my soft tip sugar shapers, and I bought my own at full price, although they did give me some other products in exchange for demonstrating and for some future blog reviews. But because I already owned and used their stuff and they knew that, they had me and several other folks demonstrate their products for them. If you can post a schedule to your branded social media pages about how you'll have these five people demonstrating on this schedule in your booth, and then share that with those people, they then reshare that information because they want people to come see them. So now they're sharing your brand and your schedule on their pages, and you get highly valuable marketing for very little cost. Because also, speaking as a show attendee, I love demos, and I know I'm not alone. People crowd around popular demonstrators sometimes just because they love that demonstrator. And now they're at your booth watching your products be used by someone they already really admire. As an example, here's an interview with Sachiko Winbale I did at the Austin Show, where she was demonstrating face sculpting at the Renshaw Americas booth. She had people coming up to her constantly to ask questions about her techniques and the various Renshaw products she was using, enough that I had to wait for a rare quiet time when I could get this interview. People love Sachiko's work. I mean, she won Best in Show the day after this interview. So they come to the Renshaw booth to get a quick taste of her tips and tricks for making faces.
Here at the Austin Show is Sachiko Winbale, and she is working on some faces. Tell us what you're doing.
Hi, how are you? I'm Sachiko Winbale from Mimi Cafe Union. Nice to meet you. Now I'm making something like a facial expression at Renshaw booth.
You've got an eyeball in your hand right now, and it is awesome. I'm just loving that you're cleaning off eyeballs. This is you're my kind of person. This is why we should be friends.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, eyeball is my big friend. So, yeah.
So do you make those in advance and dry them out?
Yep, and just make balls and then dry out at least overnight. Then when I make face and it's fast painting, then insert to the fondant.
So, yeah, that would help keep it my problem of always making one eye kind of wonky, right? Yeah. Imagine it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and you're on a deadline and it's not going well. What would you want someone to tell you to make you feel better?
Feel better?
Yeah. What?
words? Feel better. It's, I have so many words about this, but you know, just to trust you, and you know, most important, you have to enjoy yourself. That's the most important. If you're not enjoying, you cannot make it any, like, you know, happy, you know, cake or something.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Have a great show.
You too. Thank you.
Even if your demonstrators aren't big names in and of themselves, people are often just wandering up and down the aisles, overwhelmed by stuff hanging on racks, so their eye is drawn to someone actually making a thing. Boom, now they're watching your product in action, and they're going to want to take pictures and ask questions and maybe even buy then and there. Or maybe they'll take a card or coupon and go buy later. In fact, as I mentioned before about goodie bags and prize packs, having a coupon distributed around to that highly engaged audience is a major way of getting interest in sales. I'll tell you right now, a coupon in my competitor goodie bag or in the official show flyer that gives a special show-only discount always catches my eye, especially if I've traveled overseas, because then I'm also saving on shipping. But hey, I can't fit everything into my suitcase, or some things just can't be taken through airport security. So a coupon in the goodie bag or even just at your stall that lets me get a discount for a month or two after the show is definitely something I save and have many times made use of. Because sometimes customers have all kinds of reasons why they can't buy your product right there at the show, but they'll wait until they have a sudden need for your product that they remember seeing at the show and pay for the shipping later, and all of a sudden, your product has saved their cake. That's key for potential vendors to remember, even if they're not doing demos or giving away samples or anything else. It's not all about net sales at the show itself. By being at a cake show, you are getting your brand out there and visible. By being friendly and chatty and visibly enthusiastic about your product, you cement yourself in the minds of potential future clients. Here, check out this great story of how a decorator remembered having seen a vendor at the Austin show in a previous year, and when they had an emergency need, they knew just who to call.
I'm here at the Austin Cake Show talking to some people about custom stencils.
Hi, I'm Denise Gall, and I had my daughter's birthday last year, and she wanted a Wizard 101 cake, and she wanted specific symbols that represented it, the different schools in the game. And she wanted, they're very stylized, the symbols for the schools. And I'm thinking, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. And I'm thinking, can I make the stencils? It's like, no, I don't have a clue. And then I remembered Chuti's stencils that I had seen at the cake show the previous year. And I'm thinking, I wonder, can she please make these? I wonder. So I emailed her. I was like, can you do this? And she's like, I don't know what game you're talking about. So she's like, she Googled it and sent me back a picture. Is like, is this what you're talking about? And I was like, yes, can you please do this and save my life? So she did these, sent them to me, and they were absolutely amazing. It was totally easy to do on the cake, wrap them around the cake, and the cake turned out amazing. My daughter loved the cake. Her friends that didn't know the game started playing the game, and it turned out to be my daughter's favorite cake to date that I've done.
Do you want to tell us about the process of making these custom stencils? This is Tammy Coletti from 2T Stencils.
People can send me a design or an image or an idea even. Just give me your idea, email me or message me on Facebook, and I'll take what you have. We were able to take her designs. She told me exactly what size cake, the height of the cake, the width of the cake, the dimensions, so we were able to space it perfectly round for her. And we sent them out to her. I normally can get custom stencils done in 24 to 48 hours, plus shipping time. Please give me plenty of time for shipping, especially if you're not in the USA, so that we can get them to you. But we do ship internationally. We can make stencils anywhere from 12 inches in height to 24 inches in width. So we're not limited on size. It's something I really enjoy doing. So if you have an invitation you want to match, or a fun, unique party, or like her daughter was really wanted this very unique party, we were able to take her unique theme and build it into her party and make stencils, and it was a really fun process.
And how awesome is it to then have the customer come tell you about it here at the show?
That was really, really awesome because I hadn't heard back. I hadn't got the feedback and stuff. And so it was being able to work with her, was being able to help me create and widen our cake line with her feedback and information, and to be able to know that it was a success. And that sugar making people happy is a success for me.
That's what we're all about here at Austin, is making people happy. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
So if you're considering getting a vendor stall at a show, don't just go by the direct math of cost for the stall and travel versus what you might make then and there. Include the value of being seen and remembered. Include the value of customer service, of being able to put your human face alongside your product, of making friends who will come to you out of pure friendship loyalty in the future, of being seen to be contributing to the industry in all kinds of positive ways. And if after all that, you still have a product to sell, but you just can't manage the costs, partner up. As Dawn Parrott and I talked about last episode, when I saw her at the November Cake International show last year, it was because she was demonstrating her product distributed by the Cake Decorating Company store here in the UK. I often see Chef Dominic Palazzolo at shows partnered up with people who carry his Marvelous Molds line. Ours is an industry with a lot of crossover and friendships and alliances, and if you've got a thing to sell, look around for ways to form partnerships to help you get that product out in front of a real-life audience at these shows. If, like me, you don't actually have anything to sell, but you love getting to play with new toys and trying things out in person, be sure to go to these shows whenever you can, and be sure to support the vendors. I know. It's actually really hard if you're a power volunteer with some of these shows to get out and see the vendors. My first few years with the Austin show, I would mean to go around and do some shopping, and then it would be the end of the show and I'd missed out. But in more recent years, I've marked out some clear time for me to actually go enjoy the show myself. I have to do it fast between volunteer slots and teaching and whatever else I've got going on. And even at shows where I'm just an attendee not doing any work at all, I have found that it really helps to be organized. I now go to cake shows with a list using the same grocery list app on my phone that I use for my regular food shopping, only in this case I itemize things into categories to maximize my time. The first category are the things I definitely want. Say I knew a new product I've wanted for ages is finally launching and might sell out. Oh, because yeah, that does happen. So if you know for sure you want a likely popular item, don't waffle around, go and grab it while you can. Or maybe there's a product I know is only sold at shows, or possibly even only at that show, or refills of stuff that I already love but I can get a good deal on at a show. That's the things I put in that first category, and I go to those booths first. I don't even necessarily go in order by aisle. I will look up, this one's on B17 and this one's on E43 or whatever, and I just go and I buy those things that I know I want. Then I move to my second category, and that's where I've listed things I want to investigate further. There's a good chance I'm going to buy this product, but I have questions or concerns, or maybe I need to find a way to cost justify it, or something like that. I want to eyeball the tool and see if it's the right size, because, you know, even with measurements posted online, sometimes you need to actually see it in front of you to visualize it properly. Maybe I want to see if the tool is really as easy to use as the online demonstrations illustrate, because let's be honest, that's not always the case. We all work differently, and sometimes people who make tools are good at using them, so it looks easy, and then you try it yourself and find it really frustrating for whatever reason. Trying it at the show means I can save money by avoiding something that looks good but won't work for me, or it gives me the opportunity to tell the vendor directly why it doesn't work for me, and let them either educate me on how to use it differently, or maybe I'm educating them on a need they haven't considered. And then thirdly on my shopping list, to be honest, are the things that I'm going to go look at longingly and probably not buy. There's always that thing that's so gorgeous, or makes that technique so much faster, or, you know, the thing you want but is too expensive, or you have a pile of other reasons why you haven't bought it. Well, you know what? Sometimes you go to a cake show and find out that thing is about to be discontinued and they're selling off the last stock at deep discount. Or maybe they've got a mini version out now that's more within your budget and needs. Don't be afraid to go check out a stall even if you're probably not going to buy. Use this opportunity to see what's out there, what works for you and what doesn't. I know, I feel guilty sometimes if I interact with a vendor but don't buy right then and there because I'm looking at them. But I'm trying to get over that, because those interactions are valuable, as we've just seen through the interviews in this episode. Because it has happened where I've talked to someone and haven't bought the thing then and there. 6 months later, I realize I need it, and then I buy it. So what have we learned today? Even the smallest producer of a product can find a place at a cake, cookie, or baking show to show off what they make to a receptive audience. And the key is to find the best practices that fit your needs as well as those of your potential clients. Don't despair at cost alone, and don't make it a strict money out, money in, right here, right now formula. Use these opportunities to build your brand in the way your clients ask. And for those of us who are potential clients, ask. Do the asking. Ask your favorite producers to come to the shows you attend. Ask them about their wares. Tell them what you need, how things work for you or don't, and support them. Now, don't fib to them and ask them to come to a show or tell them you're going to buy their stuff and then fail to support them, because that is a bad burn that nobody needs. But use your wallet to help steer the brands we all love to make the things we need. Also, I'm just going to throw this out here quickly. If you're part of the management team for one of these shows, you need to take care of your vendors. The Austin show prides itself in a high standard of vendor care, so I'm always shocked when I go to other shows and talk to vendors and find out nobody even brings them coffee or tea or lunch or gives them a break or anything for the whole show. That is not okay. Whether your show is big or small, volunteer-powered or for-profit, you make sure that you've got someone whose job it is to go around to those stalls and take care of those human beings. A little bit of kindness goes a long way to making a vendor feel better, even if sales are down. Make sure you take care of them, okay? And even if you're just an attendee at the show, and your friend is over there, has a cake stall, and nobody's taking care of them, oh, for pity's sake, offer to bring them some food or a drink. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there and connect with each other as makers and artists and innovators and producers and sellers and buyers. Like I keep saying, we're all in this together, guys. And when we support each other and show up at these events together, we make this whole creative space better for all of us. I hope I'm going to see some of you at the next cake show I attend. I'm bringing my wallet and this microphone. So you bring your stories, your cool stuff, and let's all keep talking about this sweet world we all love. This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and if you'd like to hear your voice on the show or you want to discuss anything you've heard, get in touch with me on Facebook at facebook.com/eattheevidencebykimberlychapman, all one word. Or go to eattheevidence.com/podcast, remembering to put dashes between the words, so it's eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. The show is also on Twitter at @EatEvidence. If you've got Kim Chapman friended on Facebook, you can leave me a voicemail message there to record your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Show notes and music credits can be found at the Eat the Evidence website in the podcast section. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.